very center, water, living water will flow. Continually, non-stop. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Are you in touch with the river?
Yes.
What does the river look like? How does it feel like? It's living water. Wherever the river goes, it brings life.
Refreshing.
It's a refreshing river. Some people experience it as the liquid love.
Amen.
That flows out from inside and touches every fiber of your being. Some people experience it as healing. Some people experience it as hope. Everybody experienced sense of lack of hope. True? How many felt at some point you are trapped in life and can't get out? And it's hopeless. Where do you get the hope?
From God.
How many know in here, God loves me, but somehow you can't feel it here? You feel lonely, you feel not loved. You know, Bible says the Holy Spirit, Romans 5, verse 5, the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has poured out upon us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the river of God, the Holy Spirit brings the love of God and the hope that does not disappoint. Where do we, sometimes we turn for hope. When we feel hopeless, I mean, it's not wrong. We turn for one another. When I need strength, I talk to Mia. Mia sort of, you know, patches me up and kind of, you know, put the bandages on. Get on, go, get tiger and all that. And other people, brothers and sisters, encourage one another. We encourage one another. But there's a limit to what a man can give, right? If you have a power source inside, wouldn't it be a great idea that you learn to get connected with a power source?
Amen.
How many watched Iron Man? The arc reactor inside, right? There's an unlimited power source. Like, now, yeah, obviously, I don't want to respect the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, far more than that. But you do have unlimited, ever-flowing life source inside of you that powers you, that's supposed to power you. Empower you for life. Every setback, you can turn it because your hope is not going to be broken.
Amen.
Your hope cannot be frustrated. Why? Because the love of God richly dwells in your heart. Is God, Holy Spirit, inside of you? If then, what is the greater power outside that can break the power of the Holy Spirit inside? Is there?
No.
No. No. If unbreakable God is inside of us, which he is, then what can any circumstance, how many felt like, you know, what I'm going through, nobody else has gone through. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm worse than everybody else. Like, you know, what about the Holy Spirit? The rivers of living water. Holy Spirit is the source of joy. Joy. How many experience joy? It says rejoice. Like, rejoice. Rejoice. Says, kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the name of the Holy Spirit? It's a helper. He comes to help us. He's an encourager. So when we acknowledge there is God, the Holy Spirit, inside and begin to make some kind of connection, I think that's kind of, you know, really teaching you how to get the whole fish pond. Not only teach you how to fish, I mean, you get the whole thing. Really the whole thing. If we can just awake. And rather than just grasping out there for some help and some little bandage, just begin to, it takes time to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but have a very very clear aim. I'm going to develop relationship with the third person of the Trinity, Almighty God, who apparently is inside of my spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the rivers of the living water, infinite source of life that continues flows. There is a river of God in heaven, right? The very throne of God, there is a river of God. It's called the river of life, that whatever and wherever it goes, it brings life. And both sides of the river, there's a tree of life. The much fruit. How do you bear fruit? Allow the river of the Holy Spirit to flow. That's the only river of life can bring the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else. True? How do you get that healing? The leaves is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. How we get the gifts and the power of God, the byproduct of the Holy Spirit coming inside, and then us connecting. Whatever the hang-ups, difficulties, sin, habits, past, curse, patterns, things, you know, discouragement, difficult people, all kinds of things, there's a greater power inside of us. Inside of every one of us, there is none of us here who received only the toe of the Holy Spirit, half measure. That's a mystery. Amen? So that's the first question was, what stood out? Second question. Bible says the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Huh? Did it stand out to you? Holy Spirit, yeah, I think somebody mentioned Holy Spirit was not yet. Does it mean the Holy Spirit wasn't on earth? Holy Spirit was on earth. Holy Spirit was working through Jesus. Powerful things were happening. So what does that mean? I covered it, you know, 2 weeks ago. Edwin touched on it as well. I mean, you know, he does wonderful, wonderful message last week. But what does that mean? Let's go through it again. In what way the Holy Spirit wasn't been given in the time of Jesus in a way that it is given afterwards? Yeah, they're all saying, yes, Holy Spirit in the Old Testament wasn't inside, not the whole Holy Spirit coming inside. Holy Spirit came upon the people for a task. Holy Spirit came as a visitor, come upon, and you experience Holy Spirit as a power. Power. Not very personal. So I only think about one verse in Isaiah that God says, you know, Holy Spirit as a person. He says, when Israelites was moved out of Egypt, and because they rebelled against my spirit, they grieved my Holy Spirit, so I turned against them and fought them. It's a person. But Holy Spirit, they experienced as a smoke, as a fire, as a pillar of cloud that was outside of them they could behold and experience. Holy Spirit would come upon people for a time, and when that was done, Holy Spirit would lift. Was a visitor, but Holy Spirit comes in not as a visitor, but as a inhabitant, yeah, as a dweller. Holy Spirit comes in to indwell. In that way, no one in the Old Testament ever received Holy Spirit that way. And then Holy Spirit became personal. Nobody received Holy Spirit in a personal way as the third person of the triune God himself coming in one-on-one as a personal help and assistant. In fact, that helper or, you know, the comforter, many translations translated so many different ways because it's impossible to translate it in one way. The meaning is so deep. It simply means parakletos, means someone who was called by God to come alongside you to walk with you forever. Stand by 24/7. That he never switches off. Holy Spirit never switches off. Hallelujah. Amen. Never switches off. There is no off button in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Holy Spirit comes as a person. Jesus introduced Holy Spirit as he. When he, another person just like me, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will personally guide you into all truth. In the Old Testament, the law was given, this is my mind, this is my what's right and what's wrong. But there was a sin inside of us. We didn't have power to walk in the righteousness of God. But God says, He, Almighty God, who created universe, created our spirit, created even the law, comes inside personally, empowers us and walk with us, guide us and lead us, teaches us, hallelujah, and encourages us. The very name, first of all, means encourager, helper. We all need encouragement. We all need encouragement. The Holy Spirit, God, who is the Spirit of the truth, is also God of encouragement. Whenever somebody comes to you with a superior spiritual knowledge and condemns you, make you small, not convicts you. Holy Spirit convicts us from sin as well. Definitely. But that's very different. Conviction frees you. Condemnation leaves you in a dump and make you feel like a failure. That is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit is a personal to us. He can be and He wants to be. Amen. That's the great news. I mean, would you? In the Old Testament, if you wanted to approach God, you had to go through the secretary of the secretary of the secretary of, you know, someone who is representing God, company, priesthood, sacrifice, blood, animals and stuff. And then you come sort of, you don't even go all the way to the Holy of Holies, even though that place is not where God Himself Almighty actually dwells. His presence was there. Representation was there. That representation of the representation was the high priest who had a representation of other priests working for him who will take animal sacrifice for you and offer it to God somewhere. And that was all you can do. And now God says, look, Jesus is crying out, if you want me, I will give you the living water that will flow in many multi-directional channels. It's a reverse of the living water. Hallelujah. You can come under the Niagara Fall. It's like, you know, people who have the Holy Spirit. And they're looking for a little, you know, psychological help and all, I mean, get all the help. Holy Spirit does help you. But if we don't get connected with the source of the Holy Spirit, we're trying to dig and look for water when you're standing in front of Niagara Fall. Where is the river? Where it must be somewhere like, you know, the new, you know, this, that, you know, new way, new method, some tricks that you can look for. No, Holy Spirit. Inside you, hallelujah. That's the gospel.
Amen.
Inside of you, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it's a personal indwelling. It's permanent. Holy Spirit never came into and inside human spirit to take residence in you. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Your redemption is sealed. My redemption is sealed because Holy Spirit has come in. So he's saying, you live around him. Make him happy. He's the main residence of your body. That's the Bible teaching. Your body, this is like a house. It's like a tent. Who is the owner of your body? Not me. Holy Spirit. So we need to shift our thinking. God, Holy Spirit, you are the main resident. I am renting from you. I want you to have your way. Amen. I'm going to live around your priority. So you will really have all the rooms, kitchens and sink and everything. Have your way. And Holy Spirit says, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to advocate for you. I'm going to be your loyal lawyer. Hallelujah. I'm going to guide. This guidance is a big thing, isn't it? He says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to empower you. He says, I'm going to do everything in you. Sometimes we are so worried about me and we are not even aware of the Holy Spirit inside. And somehow that priority shifts. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I know how to take care of my own. God can take care of you and me for the rest of this life and eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the promise. God says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Now, somebody had this revelation. I think I told it a number of times. The R.T. Kendall, Westminster, pastor or, you know, whatever you call it over there, Westminster, had an encounter with God, and he saw the face of Jesus interceding before the Father. He said, Father, why can't you bless him? Why shouldn't he be fully blessed? He was just throwing his life on the line for him. And then when he saw that, he came out of that. He said, wow. So when Jesus intercedes for me like that, he says, if you actually understand how Jesus intercedes for you and loves you, you will not worry about your life for the rest of your life. He really, really has a plan for you, has a plan for me. He really does. It's just allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way and not be so limited in our thinking, because we think it's got to be this way, that way, that, and then it's got to be number one, A, B, C, D to Z has to be met, and then I'm going to go this way. God says, no, let me just take over. Let me take over. Why don't you let me live inside of you? That's the order that wants to be changed. Amen? Now, it's wonderful, wonderful. What did the receiving the Holy Spirit look like in the early church? Now, that's the third question. And I've got one more question after that. What did it look like? I'm going to go through. You've got Bible with you. I haven't got the thing, but if you can just turn with me. How most of you probably were with me 2 weeks ago, explained the difference between the Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. When Jesus was resurrected, he came to the disciples, were in the room, locked up, and then saying, I'm going to be safe here, because Jesus got killed, and then if we get found out, we might get killed, so I'm going to just keep ourselves locked up and be safe, and we're going to have a plan as to what we're going to do after this. Our leader died, left us on our own. What do we do? So they are afraid, and then resurrected Jesus walks right in front, just or right through the wall, and Jesus says, hey, says a peace, shalom. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed it on them. Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, they received the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? They met resurrected Jesus, and they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of them. And the result was new life. I believe the apostles entered into the New Testament experience of being born again the first time, because what does the Bible say in Romans 10? It says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Christ risen from the dead for our sin, you will be saved. So you need to believe that Christ's death and resurrection, they encountered resurrected Christ, and they confessed resurrected Christ, and then what they received, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the result was they entered into New Testament kind of salvation, full salvation through faith, looking back to the event of the cross. But Jesus said, okay, that's it, now it's all done. No, he says, wait. After they received, Jesus said, wait, go to Jerusalem, wait a little longer, because not many days from now, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you receive power. Amen. So is the receiving the Holy Spirit, being saved, two different experiences in one experience? Because this is going to be it's been a controversy for so long. I'm going to just go through Bible quite quickly about that. Apostles received Holy Spirit. They were saved. And then about 10 days later, they received the Holy Spirit coming down like a wind and fire, filled them. And in fact, the Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit seven times. I know someone from, the denomination where I did my theological study said, oh, there is baptism of the Spirit is not biblical. It's not there in the Bible. Well, I checked it. There are seven passages talks about the word baptism and the Holy Spirit. So, after that Resurrection Sunday, when you study through the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, whenever the receiving the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it really is not talking about salvation and the Holy Spirit coming in as indwelling. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which means infilling with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is inside of you, but when you get filled inside to overflowing, you eat too much, you go, you drink all the way up, you're full, and then what? You overflow. How do you overflow? You overflow out, usually through your mouth. It's that experience that was enveloping. The room was filled with a very thick atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. The person was plunged into the Holy Spirit. In fact, actually, it's very interesting. Every time the baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible, sometimes it's translated as by or with, but it's always in or into. What you mean is, so baptism simply means get dipped. Holy Spirit's presence, you get dipped and plunged into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gets plunged and you get filled inside, outside, to the point that boom, something flows out. Amen. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Just before he went up, you know, in Book of Acts 1:5, that's how disciples received the Holy Spirit. Let's just quickly turn to maybe just the four passages here. Okay, now chapter 2. When day of Pentecost, verse 1, had fully come, when they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled, not just received, all filled to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's a very definition, first time, definition of what Jesus said. Some verses before, it says in Acts 1, verse 5, says, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Not many days, 10 days later, exactly what Jesus said was fulfilled. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they received, 120 of them on that day. Hallelujah. And some really exciting things happened. Let's go to after that. This is happening in Jerusalem. And then gospel spreads to Samaria, kind of a next door town, sort of half Jew, half Gentile, sort of in between. So gospel is going from Jews, Israel, Jewish center, to the ends of the earth. Samaria is kind of a half caste. And you go to chapter 8, verse 14, he says, you know, Philip the evangelist preached and the miracles were taking place. People were getting saved. They were getting baptized. But Bible says the Holy Spirit has not yet fallen upon any of them. They believe they were saved, but they have not received the Holy Spirit yet. Verse 16, for yet, as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. That's the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What is it? Water baptism. Then they, who are they? Apostles, Peter and John, laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit at that point. So they were saved. After they were saved, apostles came from Jerusalem, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Go to Caesarea now. This is now proper Gentile town. A Gentile, even though it's still within Israel, because they were under occupation, not Jerusalem. Now we're moving to Caesarea, Acts 10, 44 to 48. Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking, verse 44, these words, the Gospels, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many came to Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. And then Peter answered, can anybody actually withhold water? Let them all be baptized. Because they urun before this point, unless you and I become half Jew, you call proselyting. Okay, I'm gonna from now become kind of a half Jew, kind of almost. This is a rough proselyting. Become kind of a you adopt to get adopted to a Jewish family, they wouldn't baptize you. But Peter was speaking, while he was speaking, Holy Spirit fell, just as the Holy Spirit fell, what? In the day of Pentecost. And what did they do? They spoke with tongues and they were magnifying God. Something supernatural was happening. Just one more. Acts 19. Paul comes to Ephesus. Now you're actually now Ephesus, outside of the land of Israel. You've actually gone into proper Gentile land. And then Paul sees a group of disciples, and then he's, you know, they look good. They're disciples. They kind of, you know the way of God. But something seems to be missing. And then verse 2, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's a good question, isn't it? Did you receive? Now, if believing in Jesus is same thing as receiving the Holy Spirit, would Paul have asked this question? It's a stupid question, isn't it? Paul is a pretty smart man. If the moment you believe in the Holy Spirit, receive Jesus, you get automatically receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you, let me clarify. Bible says that no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. So we are not denying Christians. Every Christian, every born-again Christian has Holy Spirit inside, indwelling Holy Spirit. So some people are saying they deny, you don't have the Holy Spirit. No, don't go too far. We all have the Holy Spirit. But the baptism means you get plunged, you get filled to overflowing. That's the initial experience. And he's saying, did you, Paul says. It's like, you look good, you're disciples, but something seems to be, So did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, I haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. So what does he do? Verse 6. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. What happened in each of the occasions when the Holy Spirit came upon them in a New Testament baptism of the Holy Spirit way? What happened? In the first case, you had a tongue of fire. I want to see that. They had it. Why can't we? They had a wind of the soul. I heard about these kind of things happening, wind of the Spirit. And then there were tongues. Second time, what happened? They were speaking in tongues and they were magnifying God, praising God in a rapturous way. Not rapturous, maybe the rapture as well. Praise so hard. Rapturous way. Third time, Holy Spirit came, they were speaking in tongues and they were prophesying. Now, classical Pentecostal theology is that what is the one thing that is common in all occasions? There are different manifestations. You couldn't mistake. Different manifestations. But there's only one thing that is common in all: tongues. And that's actually a very good indication. You know why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. What is abundant in your heart? When the Holy Spirit fills your heart to the overflowing, mouth speaks. You praise, you give the control of the most unruly member of your body that gives you more trouble than any other organs in your body. Holy Spirit takes control and then he uses it to praise, amen, prophesy. Now, does that mean then anybody who doesn't speak in tongues haven't received the Holy Spirit? Now, Let me rephrase it. I think this is generally accepted evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a biblical, clear evidence of having been filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are people like, I don't want to put God in a box and say, you know, God, I dictate you by my theology. Because I don't want to do that. You can get into a lot of trouble. There's some people like, you know, Catherine Kuhlman. How many heard Catherine Kuhlman? She moved in unbelievable signs and wonders, healing. Nobody ever heard her speaking in tongues. Was she baptized in the Holy Spirit? I think so. I don't know all the questions, but tongue is a clear biblical evidence of the Holy Spirit. I generally accept tongue as a wonderful sign, clear sign of evidence of someone having been filled with the Holy Spirit at one point. Doesn't mean, now, if I speak in tongues, am I superior to you?
No.
This is the problem, because as soon as I say tongue, it divides the congregation into two. Those who have and have nots. It's not meant to be so. No. We all to desire to be, continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but initial filling really, really helps you. Because you know why? This gift of the tongue, all other gifts, it empowers and helps somebody else. If you have gift of prophecy, you have fun prophesying, but who gets edified? It's the one you're ministering to. When you speak in tongues, what happens? You edify your spirit. It's really good for you. It's the most selfish gift. Right? Does that mean tongue is better than just the normal prayer? Not necessarily. Paul says, I will praise and I'll pray with understanding. Because when you're praying in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. But you bypass your mind, you can pray directly to God. You can't pray wrong. You can pray all kinds of things that you can't see or hear. In the future, the needs that you have inside of your spirit gets met. You strengthen yourself in the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about the love of God. It's, love of God is unknowable. But he's saying, you know, I want you to really be filled with all the fullness of God by knowing the love of God. But he says, you can't really know it. In order to know it, you need your inner man to be strengthened. Your spirit man to be strengthened so that you can actually experience the love of God. You can actually catch love of God. Because when our spirit man is so weak, so famished, so like, you don't feel much love of God. So how do you strengthen your inner man?
Pray in the Spirit.
Yeah, one of the wonderful ways, pray in the Holy Spirit. So you edify your spirit. It's strengthened. You pray out a lot of stresses. Hallelujah. Anyway, this is deep. I wanted to finish early, but I'm not. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you next question, last question. Why then the Holy Spirit couldn't be poured out in the way that could be poured out from the day of Pentecost? Why? This is a very important question for you receiving the Holy Spirit. Very important question. Why? Why? You still had to wait, right? Yeah. Holy Spirit, I'll give you two reasons. Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. God, who is so holy, so other, so different from all creation, completely different, removed. And he's holy, pure, undefiled. And it's abomination for Holy Spirit to come in touch with anything that is defiled. So Old Testament, no saint, you call Daniel, Abraham, you know, perfect saints, no one, Holy Spirit will not come inside. Unclean. No one's qualified. There's only one basis on which the Holy Spirit agrees to come inside and take permanent residence, perfectly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
That's the only place that qualifies the Holy Spirit to come and take permanent residence. In the tabernacle, Holy Spirit wasn't taking permanent residence. But you know, the extent to which they went. I mean, I can't go into it. Extent to which they went to trying to get the contamination out of the tabernacle is incredible. But the Holy Spirit will only come in a pure and completely sanctified place, and only place that will be sanctified is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Second reason is the same thing as the first reason. Hebrews 9, 11, and 12, it really talks about it. You know that the blood atonement for you and me wasn't completed on earth. Actually, it was consummated when Jesus was raised from the dead, took his own blood, not the blood of goats and animals, went and entered into the heaven itself and presented before God. that blood sacrifice was accepted and it sanctified completely. Both salvation for you and me means that when we, because that blood was offered through the eternal Spirit, that when we believe truly with all our heart, that Jesus took that blood, rose from the dead, and entered in. It was completed. The atonement, it completed in heaven after resurrection. When Jesus offered it in the heavenly sanctuary, and people who believed, and then bring that final atonement that was done in heavenly sanctuary, bring it in our heart, it's done. Our spirit is completely holy and fit for Holy Spirit to come in. That's why no one could receive the Holy Spirit in that way based on their own merits. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit based on your good works, based on your, you know, fasted for 40 days, I gave half of my wealth away, I've been Christian for 40 years, not good enough. I never gambled, I never smoked, not good enough, not good enough. There's only one thing that will qualify you to receive the Holy Spirit is the blood sacrifice that happened in heaven. You believe that blood was offered in heaven for you, and that blood speaks for you. And that blood you applied in your heart and saying, God, I believe. Jesus, you shed your blood for me on the cross. I believe it. I am sanctified. I am holy, sanctified. I'm sealed by your holy blood. Then your spirit becomes clean. God calls you saint. And then based on that, what Jesus did, Holy Spirit can be poured out. Hallelujah. You know, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it meant that, Jesus' blood was accepted by the Father in heaven. And Jesus calls the gift of the Holy Spirit the highest gift of all. Jesus says, this is my gift. Jesus cried out. And Luke 24, Jesus says, 49, he says, this is the promise of the Father. This is the promise that the Father will give to everyone. This is the promise of the Father. And Apostle Paul calls it, it's the culmination of the blessing of Abraham. How many want blessing? We say blessing, blessing, blessing. Yes, we all want blessing. Abraham's blessing. What is Abraham's blessing? Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Galatians, says, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit you receive by faith. It's the blessing of Abraham. What Abraham really wanted to pass down to you, that he had, not in full measure, upon him, we receive it inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a very, very important point. Then, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? By faith. Sometimes we try too hard. We resort to the methods. If you say, hallelujah, 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 10,000 times really fast, you go, that's the tongue. Yeah, tongue, tongue, tongue. You get onto the method. No. Stop. Do you qualify? Do you receive by faith? Not because you've done this. You know, I've got to fast two weeks before I come. Okay, you can do all that. But it's faith. It's because of Jesus. Because you do believe the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. You qualify. You ask. You ask and receive. Let's turn to Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 9 to 13. We use this absolutely wonderful formula for prayer. Is what is it? You ask and you receive. Hey! Jesus said, you ask and you believe that you have it. You have it. All good. You know what? The ultimate, you know, he says, verse 9, I say to you, Jesus, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, let's say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone includes me?
Yes.
Who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to him. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That means this. It means that no person on earth, there doesn't exist a human being on earth who asks from the Father for more of the Holy Spirit and not in some way receive the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Whether you spoke in tongues in the past or not, that's out of question. No. I'm saying no one can ask from the Father for the more of the Holy Spirit and not receive. Not possible. Because it's his character to give us. This is the ultimate gift, Jesus is saying. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get the evil spirit. How many believe that? I've heard this too many times, in the Korean churches and so on. They say, oh yeah, somebody went, asked for the Holy Spirit. I think he got the devil tongue. When he got this, my hair stands up, or that doesn't sound right. Sounds like he's making stuff up and all that. Come on, just relax. If he makes the stuff up, keep seeking the Holy Spirit to come. It'll be a language, don't worry. If you ask the Holy Spirit from the Father in the name of Jesus, you're not going to get unclean spirit from the Father. Word of God sanctions it already. You ask for the Holy Spirit, you receive. Amen? You drink, you receive. Hallelujah. The normal order is you believe, or you repent from your sins, you believe, and then you ask, you drink, and you yield. But in my case, God doesn't always follow the order. In my case, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit before I got baptized in water. How many follow that order? Yeah, me. Mia, nobody laid hands on her. Han as well. Nobody laid hands on her. She, I want to be filled with all this. And she's praying. Nothing happens. In a dream, you're kneeling and praying the Holy Spirit really, really, fluently. She wake up and go, oh, I did it in my dream. And she actually knelt down and could do it. It just comes out. Just relax, relax. Just relax and faith, ask, receive. Open your mouth. It's not that difficult. I believe everybody can receive this prayer language. John G. Legg and many others said, this tongue was a making of my ministry. He says, it just gives you access into the supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we all just stand? Let's just ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. We don't actually, maybe we'll just have a quiet key if you don't mind. We don't want to just sing and do all this. We just ask the Father for more of the Holy Spirit. If there is a big thirst in our heart, there's just something. When we are sick in our heart, we don't even know exactly where it hurts. This is like, your heart crying out for Holy Spirit, really is. And sometimes when we don't get that nectar of life, you get frustrated and sometimes we lash out on other people and so on. But really, when you are in pain, you know what you are looking for? You're looking for God. You're looking for Holy Spirit. So let's ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, fill us. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want more of you. Fill me. This morning, now just this afternoon, time just ticked over. This afternoon, why don't we just lift our hands and say, Father, not because there's a music or, Paul is preaching and trying to move you into some mood, but you are directly asking the Father, like a child, Abba, Father, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to know you. Pour out your Spirit. I need wisdom. I got problems in life. I don't know how to deal with it. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are the wisdom of God. You are the righteousness. Sometimes I feel guilty. I feel like a failure. I don't feel like I'm worth much. Father, I know if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, my life must be worth something. Right? Why would God dispense his precious Holy Spirit on a life whose somebody's life is not worth much? God has a plan for you, plan for me. Hallelujah. And Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit knows the way to get there. Hallelujah. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. I don't depend on my wisdom. I don't depend on somebody to open or do things for me. Lord, I depend on you, Abba Father, Holy Spirit. Lord, there's a habits and the things, depression, problem that had bound me for years. I don't know how to get free. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are inside of me. Lord, can you rise with the tide? Rise. Unleash your holiness. Unleash your power. Destroy these chains in the name of Jesus. You cry out to God. You call out to God. You need to call out to God. Not me doing praying for you. You call out to God. Just talk to God. Abba. Let's cry out. Abba. 1, 2, 3. Abba. Father. Send your spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, oh God. Oh, Sharabakalara.